So my subject is Amalek, and I understand that I have about 22 and a half minutes for this presentation. So my subject is Amalek. Today is Mitzray, Shushan, Purim, Katan. So the covered Mitzray, Shushan, Purim, Katan. So what better thing is there to talk about than to talk about Amalek? And Amalek for us is a serious matter. Amalek for us is not just trying to define in some kind of an abstract, a conceptual, intellectual way, the definition of what an ancient tribe may have been. But what I wanted you to see primarily in the few pages that I invited you to look at in advance of our conversation is to begin to realize the tremendous, incredible relevance of the definition of Amalek for us today. So have you had a chance to look at the sheets? How much am I looking at here? How much have you had a chance to look at? You saw the first page?
Yeah.
Raise your hand. You saw the first page. Okay, so what's on the first page?
The first page...
That's you got the adult one. Yeah. Here's the first page.
First page is the Rambam, and...
Let's start with the Rav, with Rav Soloveitchik on the bottom of the first page. Rav Soloveitchik establishes a very important fundamental principle. Rabbi Soloveitchik establishes a principle that Amalek is not an ethnic designation. Amalek is not a tribe. Amalek is not somebody who was a descendant of Amalek. Amalek is not somebody who can be identified as having an ethnic DNA connection with a previous generation of Amalek. We assume there's a pasuk in the Torah, there are two places in the Torah, there's a place in Shmuel, that there's a tribe called Amalek who attacks the Jewish people. We assume Amalek is a tribe. And the children of Amalek are part of the tribe, and the Einik Lech of Amalek, and the descendants of Amalek are those who are born into the Amalek family. Comes along Rabbi Soloveitchik and says something that I hope you will realize is revolutionary. And that is that Amalek is not a tribe. Amalek is a concept. Amalek is an idea. Over 50 years ago, in 1956, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, who was one of the greatest Jews who lived in the 20th century, and who taught Gemara at Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzhak Elchanan at Yeshiva University for 40 years, gives a talk in the Nathan Lamport Auditorium of Yeshiva University on Yom HaAtzmaut. Yom HaAtzmaut, 1956, he gives a talk. At that time, in Yom HaAtzmaut in 1956, things were really complicated because it was right before, this is ancient history for you guys, it was right before the 1956 war. There was a war that Israel was involved in. Did you ever hear of the 1956 war? The Sinai campaign, Shkaya. Sinai. There was a war in the Sinai, and the war happened in the fall of 1956. Yom HaAtzmaut is in May of 1956, but it's already pretty bad. Rabbi Soloveitchik is very nervous that, Rahman al-Islam, God forbid, the world Jewish community is not going to do enough to help our Achenu B'nai Yisrael in the state of Israel, just like he argued that world Jewry did not do enough to help those who were killed in the Holocaust, which was only 11 years before, 12 years before, 13 years before. And he says it can't happen again. And we have to do something, and we have to fight back, because what's happening now is an expression of Amalek. So Amalek is not an ancient tribe. Amalek is not something that existed way back when, thousands of years ago. Amalek is right now. Right now, 1956, is Amalek. And he gives examples. Take a look in the bottom right-hand side. I cited the view expressed by my father and master, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, it's about a quarter of the way down, that the proclamation, Milchama LaHashem ba'Amalek midor dor, that God will have a battle against Amalek from generation to generation, does not only translate into the communal exercise of waging obligatory war against a specific race. We're not talking about a race. How do you define a race? A race is defined as somebody who comes from somebody else who's a member of that race. You have to be a child of somebody in order to be part of that race. So we're not talking about a race, but it includes as well the obligation to rise up as a community against any people or group that, filled with maniacal hatred, directs its enmity against Knesset Yisrael. When a person, when a people emblazons on its banner, when somebody says, I want to destroy Jews, that person is what? What is that person? That person is Amalek. That person is Amalek. He can come from Amalek, he doesn't come from Amalek, I don't care. He doesn't have to come. It's not a race. It's not ethnic. It's not blood. It's not DNA. What is it? It's an ideology. It's an ideology. So who's Amalek? So he tells us, in the 1930s and 1940s, the Nazis, with Hitler at their head, filled this role. Who was Amalek in the Second World War? Hitler, Yimach Shemo. The Nazis were Amalek. They wanted to destroy the Jews. Today, in 1956, the state of Israel is under siege by the Arabs who surround it, who seek its destruction. So who's Amalek? Today, their place, the place of the Nazis, has been taken over by the mobs of Nasser al-Mulk. So Nasser, the Mufti. The Mufti was the religious head of Egypt. Nasser was the secular head of Egypt. Both of them want to seek the destruction of the Jewish people. Therefore, they are Amalek. Today, who's Amalek today? What? The Arabs. All the Arabs, some of the Arabs. The Arabs who hate Jews. The Arabs who hate Jews. This is very important, because there are implications if you call somebody Amalek. What are the implications if you call somebody Amalek? What do you have to do to Amalek? What does the Torah say? You have to kill him. That you have to kill him. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, Hempstead Avenue, right? Hempstead, West Hempstead Avenue? Hempstead Avenue. You walk out on Hempstead Avenue, you see somebody you never saw before. Excuse me, sir, are you new to the neighborhood? Yes. Oh, where are you from? I'm from Amalek. Oh, I'm terribly sorry, because I have to kill you. It hurts me to say this, but I have to kill you. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who wants to destroy Jews. What is the basis of Rabbi Soloveitchik's point, quoted in the name of his father, that Amalek is not ethnic, but Amalek is ideological? Apparently, a diuk in the Rambam. Now let's go look at the Rambam. The Rambam says in the top of the page, in Ochus Malachim Perakei Allah Adala, Mitzvahs Asei Lahacharim Shiva Amamim. It's a mitzvah to destroy the seven nations. Who are the seven nations? Who are the Shiva Amamim? Where are they from? Who are they? What are they? What's the category? Who makes up the Shiva Amamim? The Shiva Amamim are those nations that originally inhabited Israel. Oh, he left. Okay? That originally inhabited Israel. And we have to destroy them. It's a mitzvah to destroy them. Kanani, Chidi, Prizi, Yevusi, Emori, Chidi. You have to destroy them. Says the Rambam at the end of that halacha, where it's underlined, Ukvar Avad Zichram. What does it mean? Ukvar Avad Zichram. What does it mean? Where's your sheep?
We don't know who they are.
Where's your sheep? Where's your sheep, guys? Get a sheep. You need it without a sheep. You can't. No discussion without a sheep. What's a Kvar Avad Zichram?
We don't know who they are.
Not we don't know who they are. They're gone. We don't know who they are because they don't exist. Kvar Avad Zichram, any memory of them has been lost. So the Radbaz says in his commentary, you got the sheep? Excellent. The Radbaz says in his commentary on the top left hand in the tiny print, because there's a Mishnah that says that when Sancheret came, he was mevalbel the whole world. Scrambled it up. So you don't know anybody. So don't worry. You don't have to worry about going out on Hempstead Avenue and saying, excuse me, ma'am, new to the neighborhood. Where are you from? I am a Prezi. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm terribly sorry. I have to kill you. I can't talk to you. I have to talk to the kids. I'll talk to you upstairs at 10 to 9. You can't, don't worry, it's not going to happen. Because they're lost, because they're scrambled. After Sanherib, they're such a bilbul, they're such a mishka bilbul in the whole world. We don't know anybody anymore. We don't know, everybody lost their connection to who they are. I don't know who my bubby was. I don't know where my bubby came from. I don't know anything. The whole world, there's an upheaval in the whole world. Next Rambam. And Allah ahead. V'chein mitzvahs asei la'abed zecher amalek. And I have to also kill Amalek. Not only the seven nations, I have to also kill Amalek. And I have to do terrible things to Amalek, and I have to remember Amalek, and I have to hate Amalek, and I have to hate them in my heart, and I have to remember them, and I have to... What's missing at the end of this halacha in the Rambam when it comes to Amalek? What's missing is that the Rambam does not say what? What does the Rambam not say? Ukvar Avad Zichron. The Rambam doesn't say with regard to Amalek the same thing that he says with regard to the seven nations. But the same Sancherev who scrambled, it's a good word, the same Sancherev who scrambled up the whole world, so why doesn't it not apply to Amalek? Zokt, so Rabbi Soloveitchik's father said, is a raya, what's it a proof? That Amalek is still around. Because the Rambam doesn't say they're lost. What do you mean Amalek is around? They're lost. They're scrambled like everybody else got scrambled. What's the answer? Ethnically, they may have been scrambled, but it's not ethnic. Amalek is an attitude. Amalek is an ideology. If somebody says, I want to destroy Jews, bingo, you're Amalek. So Amalek is still around after the scramble. I don't care about scramble. Scramble means I don't know who my bubby was. You don't have to know. It's not a bubby thing. It's not a Zaydi thing. It's not an ethnic thing. It's not a descending thing. It is a feeling. It's an ideology. Which means that if somebody wants to destroy the Jews, so we have to kill them. We have an obligation to kill them. Now, why is this relevant? Why is this relevant right now? So even if I only leave you with this thought, Dayen. If you turn the page, as you read for you a letter to the editor in the Jerusalem Report from July 24th, 2006. So I have to tell you a little introduction. There's a fellow who teaches at Bar-Ilan University by the name of Elliot Horowitz. Elliot Horowitz wrote a book in 2006, published a book, Princeton University Press, about violence of Jews against non-Jews in the context of Purim. Violence of Jews against non-Jews in the context of Purim. Big fat book. And he, in this book, is very upset, particularly what the Jewish community in Hebron is doing. He takes a very strong political position in this academic book. I have never seen a political position presented in a university press book that is allegedly academic, scholarly, and objective. He's very upset. In the beginning of July, somebody writes a review of this book in the Jerusalem Report. Some of you may read the Jerusalem Report, you may get it, it comes out every week, it's a little magazine. And there's a review of this book. And it's a pretty okay review. As reviews go, it's a pretty okay review. But there were a couple of points that Horowitz didn't like. So when I read the review, I knew it was only a matter of time before Horowitz was going to respond to the review. So the next week comes, the magazine, I open it up. Nothing. Why is nothing? Because you didn't have a chance to read it and to write. 2 weeks later, there's Horowitz. And listen to Horowitz. Listen to what Horowitz says. Did you ever hear of Baruch Goldstein? You guys ever hear of Baruch Goldstein? Tell me about Baruch Goldstein. He walked into Ma'arat HaMachpelah, he was there, and he shot and killed close to 30 Arabs.
Just Yom Tov.
Now, what? And then he was killed. Now, I don't want to get into a conversation, although I would want you to think amongst yourselves and maybe with your teachers. So do you think that was a good thing? that Baruch Goldstein did, or you think it was a bad thing that Baruch Goldstein did? Now the issue is as follows, and that's what I want you to think about, because Amalek is real. Amalek has implications. So Horowitz says at the end of his letter that he's talking about violence perpetrated by Jews in Hebron on Purim. Do you know when Baruch Goldstein massacred, killed 29 Arabs? It was on Purim. It was on Purim. Says Horowitz, writes Horowitz. The next of the last paragraph. It is not unlikely. The next of the last sentence at the end. It is not unlikely that Goldstein, who moved from the United States to Kiryat Arba in 1983, participated in the 1986 Purim parade. There's a discussion about a particular parade that offended Horowitz. The last sentence is what I want to leave you with. It is even more likely that sometime before 1994, Goldstein, who was a graduate of Yeshiva University, read Kol Dodi Dofen. Kol Dodi Dofen is the name of the article where Rabbi Soloveitchik says that anybody who wants to destroy the Jews today is Amalek. Rabbi Soloveitchik makes this comment. Professor Elliot Horowitz draws a direct line from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comment to what Baruch Goldstein did in killing 29 Arabs. So you can't say, Amalek, Shmamalek, who cares? It's ancient history. Way back when we were leaving Mitzrayim, there was this tribe. It's not like that anymore. Haman is an Agagi, comes from Amalek. Amalek, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, is alive and well. And if Amalek is alive and well, that means we have to do something about that. There's an obligation incumbent upon us to do something to a person that we identify as Amalek. And now we have a direct line. Direct line. Rabbi Soloveitchik gives a speech at Yeshiva University. Baruch Goldstein hears the speech. Oh! They want to kill us. They're Amalek. Boom! 29 Arabs he massacres. Because they're Amalek. Rabbi Soloveitchik said they're Amalek. And if they're Amalek, I have to kill them. Now, I don't know if this was going through Goldstein's mind, but it's enough for me that Horowitz draws that connection. I would tell you that Rabbi Soloveitchik would be distraught if he heard that anybody would use his words to justify or to explain the behavior of Baruch Goldstein. He would be beside himself. But that's the issue. The issue is, it makes a difference if you're a Amalek. Turn to the next page, page 3. Rabbi Rockwell, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Page 3, Jeffrey Goldberg. You have to be medayek in the op-ed page of the New York Times. August 5th, 2004. Jeffrey Goldberg writes an article from the West Bank. Ofra, the West Bank. I'm sorry it's so small. I'll read it to you. He has a conversation with an acquaintance. We're now in the third paragraph, named Ayelet. And Ayelet is a resident of an outpost in the radical settler heartland near Nablus, near Shechem. And the husband of Ayelet comes in and he starts to give a Dvar Torah. This is the op-ed page of the New York Times. He starts to give a Dvar Torah and an interpretation of a Bible passage. And immediately he gets to talk about Amalek. Next paragraph. Amalek, in the language of the settler hardcore today, often stands for the Arabs, the existential enemy of the Jews. I'm looking at our life today and what Amalek wants to do in the present, wants, not wanted when we left Egypt, but wants to do, is to destroy, to swallow up the people of Israel. This is the snake. This is the snake. I turned to Ayelet. She wore a long skirt. Her hair was covered. She carried an M16. I asked her if she thought Amalek was alive today. Of course, she said, and pointed out the door toward the Arab village in the distance. The Amalekite spirit is everywhere. It's not just the Arabs. Who else then? Sharon isn't Amalek, she said, but he works for Amalek. Who's Sharon? 2004, who's Sharon? Who's Sharon? The Prime Minister of Israel, Arik Sharon. So Yayelet says he's not Amalek. He works for Amalek. What happens if he would be Amalek? You have to kill him. Which prime minister got killed? Rabin. Why did Rabin get killed? Because somebody said he was Amalek, because he wants to give back. This is huge today. You guys need to understand that this is huge. This cuts on the core of how we understand Israel today, how we understand the nature of the enemies of Israel today, how we understand the whole political situation in Israel today. And it's all relevant in terms of assessing the implications of the identity of Amalek. So the first issue I wanted to share with you is the relevance of this discussion. Amalek is a relevant conversation because Amalek has implications. And it's not implications when Mashiach comes, and it's not implications with Aaron and Hur holding up Moshe's hands. It's not implications for the distant past. It's not implications for the hopefully soon future. Right now, as we speak, Amalek has significant implications. The last page deals with, and I don't have time to go into it, is the whole moral question. Because you know, when it comes to Amalek, we have to kill babies. We have to kill animals. What did the baby do? Why am I killing the baby, a sweet little babel? Or what do I want from the baby? What do I want from the animal? What did the animal do? That's a whole important question that's also raised in this context that you'll take a look at on page 4 and look at some of the questions that I asked you at the bottom of the page. Thank you for coming. I wish you all wonderful. I'll take your questions. I will not